computer-generated content is rapidly changing the terms of what's possible. Whether it's text or images or videos, a growing number of people have access to these tools. As companies that develop so-called artificial intelligence software make it accessible to the public, that can have the unintended consequence of enabling bad actors, including people who stand to profit from creating and sharing illicit content. Some recent research by the Wall Street Journal, Stanford University, and the University of Massachusetts Amherst revealed Instagram's algorithms connecting and promoting a network of accounts sharing underage sexual content. Stanford's Internet Observatory also recently co-authored a report with the group Thorn, a nonprofit that builds technology to defend children from sexual abuse. This report focused on the prevalence of people using improved machine learning to create photorealistic, sexually exploitative images of children. One of the co-authors of that report joins us now, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions, what concerns do you have about the potential risks of this AI-generated content on social media? If you're a young person or maybe a parent, guardian, grandparent, what questions do you have about keeping kids safe online? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Rebecca Portnoff is Director of Data Science for the group Thorn. Rebecca, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Great to be here.
I gave a very brief description of Thorn. Can you tell us some more about what the group does and specifically what you as part of the data science team do there?
Absolutely. So as you said, Thorn is a NGO that is dedicated to building technology to combat child sexual abuse. We believe in a strategy that allows for three different main intervention points. One is around supporting victim identification. Two is around stopping re-victimization. So this is now the spread of child sexual abuse material where a child's abuse is documented in image or video and then shared out. And then finally, prevention, stopping that abuse from happening in the first place. So I lead the data science team at Thorn. We are the department that builds the machine learning and artificial intelligence technology that powers a lot of our interventions across these three different intervention points.
And as you mentioned, you use AI, among other tools, as part of the prevention techniques. But you also have a concern that in addition to the already existing CSAM, child sexual abuse imagery, we are going to see an emergence of AI-generated CSAM. What should we know that we might not even be aware of in the public?
That's right, Rob. I would say that in general, technology is a double-edged sword, that it can be certainly used for good purposes and with good outputs, but that it also, unfortunately, can be used to harm or to further harms. So when it comes specifically to generative AI technology, what we are observing is that there is a small but growing amount of AI-generated or machine learning-enabled CSAM. That's what I mean here is content that has been synthetically generated using some of these diffusion models, these generative AI technologies, that sometimes these images do not represent the exact likeness of a known child, but sometimes they do. And that in either case, this kind of material has some serious potential ramifications on the child safety ecosystem.
And if I understand things correctly, Congress, in one way, got out ahead of this. Creating this kind of imagery with a computer is illegal as it stands right now. Do I have that right?
That is my current understanding, that there is legislation that covers from either a CSAM or a obscenity perspective this kind of content.
Now, as you say, this is newer technology. It's emerging. We're seeing what's going to happen out there. You are hoping to get out ahead of this in ways that we maybe didn't with social media. What kind of things are you looking for when it comes to the creators of these artificial intelligence, especially these image and video generation kinds of software?
Thorn really sees this as an opportune moment to prioritize safety by design in the development and the deployment and the maintenance of these kind of technologies. So when you think about the machine learning or AI lifecycle, it really includes these three core elements where you are building the classifiers, you're then deploying these classifiers, making them available for use, and then finally you're maintaining these classifiers. And in all cases, we see strong opportunities to prioritize child safety.
How would that work in practice? So I know people not using doing exploitative imagery might say, you know, type in the parameters, give me a picture of a dragon flying over New York City or whatever. And the program will use its training, come up with an image that looks kind of like that. Now, that's fine. What kind of things could we do to say if somebody's giving instructions that would aim at the output of exploitative child imagery? Like, can you put a roadblock? Can you put limiters on this kind of software to say, nope, not going to output that?
That's a great question. So at the end of the day, a lot of this comes down to mitigations, things that we can do to reduce the risk, not necessarily eliminate the risk, but just to get a little bit more tangible. If I talk about development, a very concrete action item that companies can take and that many have taken is to ensure that their training material, so the data that is used to build these classifiers, that it has already been cleaned of any kind of abusive CSAM or other kind of abusive content, that this then makes it more difficult for the model to get misused downstream to produce this type of content. If we talk about deploying these mechanisms, you know, you mentioned that someone could input some text and then output an image. If you have these models deployed in a controlled environment, then you could incorporate detection at the inputs and outputs where you, for example, might disallow particular prompts or particular requests that are, you know, clearly trying to generate AIG CSAM, and then also check at the outputs whether or not the prompt has been successful in generating that kind of content and then disallow it if so.
We're talking to Rebecca Portnoff, Director of Data Science for Thorn, looking at exploitative images of kids on social media, on the internet. It's there already, of course, sadly. And now AI-generated imagery and videos are starting to follow. She's calling for early interventions to keep it from spreading too quickly. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about what this is, what's going, what we can do to prevent it? Join in at 800-642-1234. Rebecca, I want to take this to, most people aren't going to be programming these kind of things and at the front lines of this fight. But lots of people have kids who are encountering things online, or grandkids, or you name it. Do you have thoughts for people to help protect their kids from being exposed to this kind of imagery, maybe even interacting with the networks that share this kind of imagery?
You know, this may sound a bit cliche, but the reality is that we are in a different world than we used to be, that kids these days are growing up with that phone in their hands, that they're exploring their identities both on and offline. And so certainly Thorn recognizes this and has resources available like our Thorn for Parents that helps equip parents with the skills and resources that they need to have important, productive, and judgment-free conversations to prevent abuse. In general, we say, talk early to your kids about this. Talk often. Continue to build that trust.
Getting back to the companies now, looking back at the growth of social media, it seemed like we were years behind on catching up with a variety of bad things spreading on social media. Are there lessons that you think we can learn at the outset now with this AI coming along that we can learn from the slower start we got back in the early days of social media?
This, to me, returns back to that idea of safety by design. We built an internet without child safety in mind, and we really have an opportunity in this moment to get ahead with generative AI. It's still fairly nascent. It's still fairly early, and we can seize this opportunity to prioritize child safety and how we build this technology.
We're talking to Rebecca Portnoff, Data Science Director for Thorn. That's a nonprofit that builds technology aimed at defending children from sexual abuse. We're talking about a new report she co-wrote looking at how advances in machine learning, things you may see referred to as artificial intelligence, these things could be used to generate and distribute images of child sexual abuse. Talking about how to get out ahead of that, what to happen, what to do as it starts to spread. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this a story that's impacted you in some way? Have you or your kids or grandkids encountered some type of abusive material online, maybe on a social media platform? And what questions do you have about the technology that can be used, abused, and then maybe used to target these problems? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation about AI, so-called artificial intelligence, being used potentially to generate images of child sexual abuse and how people like our guest are working with machine learning to counteract and intervene before the problem gets worse. Rebecca Portnoff is with us. She's director of data science for the group Thorn. We have a link to Thorn's website and to that report we mentioned over at WPR.org/Central Time. And you can join the conversation with your thoughts, your questions about all this at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Dennis is with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi. Well, I might be putting ideas in somebody's mind, but somebody probably thought of it already. But what I thought of with this came up with is some perverts are likely to take a child's picture and put that into pornography. So the child isn't necessarily physically victimized, but could be visually or sexual or socially victimized. So somebody might think, well, gee, this child was in this, but it's just something that's artificial.
Dennis, thanks for the call. And Rebecca, Dennis is not wrong, right? This is definitely a concern.
That's correct. It's definitely a concern. In fact, it's something that we know is actively happening today. And Dennis, while it's really horrific to reflect on, some bad actors are even using that type of material to then further extort these children for financial gains. They will send them this doctored content that depicts their face, their likeness in these pornographic settings, and then use it to extort them for blackmail or for money. So it's really quite troubling what's happening today.
Dennis, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Chad joins us now in Sauk City. Chad, hi.
Hi, how's it going? I just had a comment about, I was listening to your program, and I just honestly don't think there's anything that can be done to prevent the spread of AI with the creation of anything that anybody can imagine. And I just don't see there's any way to stop that.
Chad, thanks for the call. Rebecca, I'm guessing, given your line of work, you don't share Chad's complete pessimism on this.
Yeah, Chad, I'm going to have to disagree. I think that what we're seeing in the data is that when it comes to AI-generated CSAM, it is a growing problem, but it's still small. That we do have the opportunity to intervene, to prioritize safety by design in the development, to make it much more difficult for these kinds of classifiers to produce this kind of content. And when it comes to CSAM, not AIG content now, but CSAM, I can say definitively that the work that Thorn and our partner organizations have done have had impact in real children's lives to stop the re-victimization with the use of their content and to help prevent that abuse.
Chad, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Eric joins us next, calling from Portage. Eric, hello.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Eric?
Hey, I have two questions. First of all, how is this a thing? And secondly, as regular civilians, what can we do to help? Because this is shocking.
Eric, thanks for the call. What can everyday people, Rebecca, do to help? Eric wants to know.
I appreciate you asking, Eric. I would say that there are a lot of good organizations that are supporting this kind of work that will certainly not turn down donations and those kinds of financial support. I think that if you're looking to understand the issue better, looking at our Thorn for Parents resources and other resources that our awesome research and insights team have made available on our website is also a really good way to learn more and then to share that knowledge out with others.
Thanks for the call, Eric. We're talking to Rebecca Portnoff, Director of Data Science for the group Thorn, talking about imagery, child exploitative imagery, child sexual abuse imagery on the internet. It's already there. And now artificially intelligence generated CSAM, child sexual abuse imagery on the way. Talk about ways to get ahead of that. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have questions or thoughts on this. A related question, Rebecca, if somebody encounters something like this, they're on a social media site, and they see something that seems like it's advertising this kind of exploitative imagery, or a young person, a parent finds out their kid has been blackmailed, like you said, who do you report these things to? How do we reach out to authorities?
The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, also known as NCMEC, is the clearinghouse for these kinds of reports. And I would certainly say that that is the right place to go to submit a report to them. That their website is missingkids.org.
I understand the AI-generated imagery could complicate that. Now, if these reports come in, not only do we have this horrific report, this horrific imagery, we have to figure out, okay, are we tracking down a real kid being exploited or an artificially generated image that we need to track down? How complicated is that going to be?
That's where the ecosystem comes into play. This understanding that if you know that this content is synthetic, mark it as such, and then share that information, share those signals with the broader child safety ecosystem. Law enforcement already has a tremendous caseload. That's why we're working so hard to get ahead of this.
Now, a lot of this we're concerned about here in the United States. Of course, the internet is global. How much does that complicate efforts to track down and then stop the spread of this kind of material?
I would say that regulatory distinctions across the world certainly do make this problem more complex. In general, when it comes to making a difference here, what we have seen is that it requires that global response, that global coordination in order to make a difference in these kids' lives.
What kind of technologies are on your radar that you're particularly concerned about? You're particularly hopeful that their creators will start to take some of those steps towards safety by design.
Certainly, generative AI is front of mind for us at this moment, both when it comes to opportunities to use this technology to further good, to use it in some of the existing machine learning workflows that we have, as well as all that we've been discussing when it comes to the way it can be misused. In general, what we say is that every content hosting platform, every platform with an upload button can and likely does host volumes of CSAM. And so making that a priority for your organization is key.
What kind of tools are out there? I know you work with individual social media companies, but in general, what kind of tools are out there? How do they spot this material? Is it all based on user reports? Do they have humans? Is it, algorithm program searching? How is this stuff detected by a social media platform?
So there's a concept of proactive and reactive detection. Both are important. When I say reactive, it is exactly that user reporting that you're referring to. When I talk about proactive detection, that is proactively looking out for those instances of abuse. So Thorn has an industry tool called SAFER that we offer to platforms that's designed to help technology companies detect, review, and report this kind of abuse imagery at scale.
Now, we've talked a lot about the AI software creators, some about the social media platforms, some about the end users, the parents out there. Do you see a need for changes either in law or in regulation and enforcement of current laws as we look at the impact of these AI-created images and videos?
You know, I'm not a policy person. I am a data scientist. I will say that the tools that we have at hand, I want to make sure that we are encouraging the ecosystem to use every tool that we have at hand to tackle this problem.
And I want to come back to the resources now you have available at Thorn. Again, we've got a link at wpr.org/centraltime. And this is something I imagine could be used for parents, by educators and others. Go into some detail. What kind of things will people find there if they go looking for help?
Well, one resource I'd like to highlight is No Filter. This is our youth-focused prevention program that seeks to increase awareness among youth about the risk of sharing nudes online, to help change some toxic attitudes that shame victims, and just in general, provide the knowledge and tools that they need to resist online threats. Of course, you can go to thorn.org to learn more about the issue holistically, and then parents.thorn.org includes talking tips and conversation starters for parents who are wanting to engage with their children in a healthy way.
And I think an impression parents might have is, okay, well, I hear about this stuff in the dark web. My kids are just on Instagram and Snapchat or whatever. The problem is sometimes when we stumble into the wrong corners of our social media, that's what leads us into these darker, off the map places. How much of a concern is that?
I think that I would share some statistics from NCMEC. In 2001, they received just 421 reports of CSAM. In 2021, that number grew to more than 84 million. So the sad reality is that this content is everywhere. And that's why it's so important to talk early to your kids. These kids are growing up online, and it's important to give them what they need in order to be able to explore in a safe and healthy way.
Rebecca, that's a good place to leave it. Thanks again for joining us today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
We've been talking to Rebecca Portnoff, Director of Data Science for the group Thorn. We talked to her today about some of the ways artificial intelligence can be used to create and share images of child sexual abuse and how to prevent that from happening and crack down on it when it does. Again, we've got links to resources with Thorn. You can find them at WPR.org/Central Time. That's WPR.org/Central Time.